Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. As always, we're going to the lines. We have a text. Who's texting, Luke?
Yeah, we got a text from Josh of Madison asking about the minimum wage, asking if it's increased to $15 an hour, wouldn't that increase be recovered or funded from an increased markup of the goods and services offered by that company, and thus driving the cost of the living wage and negating the benefits of the increase?
Can you read that a little? The sound is fading a little bit. If you could read it a little louder.
Yeah. Sorry. Josh is essentially asking if we increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour, would that not be negated, that increase be negated from the cost of living and the cost of the goods and services by all the companies doing that, actually negating all the increase of the wage itself. So,
yeah, I think that the answer is no, but it's a good question. And let's just talk quickly about the economics of it. The economists are split on the increase in the minimum wage, because by Josh's example, you could say that any minimum wage increases the cost of living. So why not have guys work for free and, you know, work like slaves, that, you know, the ones that built the pyramids and all that. I mean, you have to have a society. But secondly, much more importantly, the two questions are, when you increase the minimum wage, at what point do companies go to robotics and replace employees? And number two, they obviously pass it on in the cost of goods and services. You know, in other words, at a hamburger stand, if you go from $7 and 55 cents for a minimum wage to 15, the price of the hamburger is going to go somewhat up. Well, the truth of the matter is, people that are at the minimum wage level, the goods and services they buy are not as impacted by this as people with higher incomes. I mean, and people with higher incomes, if they have to pay more money for goods and services, so be it. Give you an example. You know, the Chinese tariffs that Trump imposed, those tariffs weren't paid by China. They just got passed on the cost of the goods, and Americans paid for them, you see. So Republicans are very fond of saying, oh, it'll be passed on in goods and services, except when it's something they want. And so so I would analyze it this way. The minimum wage back in the late 60s, I think it was 68 or 9, if you adjust it for today's economy, was about $10.50 an hour, almost 11, you know, in 1968 purchasing dollars. Now it's a little over 7. It's gone down. The minimum wage has gone down in the last 50 years. It's gone down. And the truth is, you can always say that lower wages produce lower costs of goods and services, but I don't believe that. I mean, businesses are going to charge what they can get anyway in a competitive market. They just are going to do it. They don't care. All they're doing is not paying their workers enough. And I don't think you can say that somebody should work for $7 or $8 an hour. I mean, even at a 2000 hour work year, that is 14 or 16 grand. They can't support themselves on that.
Yeah. And Josh said that he supports increasing the minimum wage to $10 an hour, but he just has concerns about raising it too high. He also wanted to note that he believes that the minimum wage jobs are supposed to be the entry-level stepping stones of your career and not necessarily full-time jobs. So
well,
that's,
you know,
that's what Josh
and
is talking
the
about.
Intent, you know, the invisible hand doesn't have intent. You know, the intent basically was, we don't want slavery. And so if Josh supports it, say, up to 10 or 10 and a half bucks an hour, that would put it at the level of 1968. In other words, there'd be no real increase. But there's a couple of things in that. Some economists agree with Josh. They set the break point at 10, maybe just under 11 bucks an hour. Anything over that, people are going to go robotic. In other words, something like McDonald's is going to figure out a way to make hamburgers and deliver them, just like Horn and Hardart in Manhattan did, you know, 60 years ago, where they're behind little glass doors and you go in and you pick them out and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I don't agree with that. Now, if you increase the minimum wage to $50 an hour, yeah, no, I know what you're saying. But 15 is simply a raise over 1968. And so I don't think that it will have that effect. The more controversial one is the initial proposal is that it also apply to wait staff in restaurants. Now, wait staff in restaurants get a restaurant minimum wage, which is very low, but they presumably get tips. Well, okay, good for them, and they get tips. But the theory is, if you told a mom and pop restaurant they had to pay everybody $15 an hour, the owner isn't making $15 an hour in some cases if they have a low margin, if they're starting out. And there are ways of accommodating that and adjusting that. That should not be the tail that wags the dog. So, Josh, excellent point. Some economists, if you're willing to go to the 10 or 11 an hour, some economists agree with you. Others don't. I side with the others. I say 15 is the right thing to do. I do not think in the long run that a lot of these jobs can be substituted by robots. And if they are substituted by robots, somebody has to build the robots and society changes. I mean, you look at the 18th century. I mean, there were people drilling on the moor when you had machines weaving cotton because they wanted to do it by hand, and that's all they knew how to do. Times change. There are no more typewriter factories. There are no more buggy whip factories. Okay, deal with it. People are more going to IT and health information services, and there are people in hospitals now with health, right? You know, there's different industries. But I do not think that people should have to work for $7 or $8 an hour. It's a joke. Yeah, it's an absolute joke.
And my view on it would be that the cost of living in places is going up regardless right now. Like, we haven't changed the minimum wage going on the better part of 2 decades now, and the cost of living is still rising. So the fact that we haven't taken steps to start adjusting the minimum wage, like you're talking about how it's gone down in the last 50 years when you account for inflation, we should have something that is making it so that if you're working full time in America, you shouldn't be below the poverty line. So I agree. 15 has been one of those numbers thrown out there, and 15 might not make sense for every community, but definitely increasing it away from 725, where it's been sitting at the federal level for I believe since like 2004, 2005. So we're coming up on the better part of 2 decades.
Right. And the adjusted minimum wage in 1968 was over 10 an hour. Okay. So we are not going anywhere. One of the other things to keep in mind is people like Walmart instruct their employees on how to get welfare benefits. They have little instructions like, here's how you get on Medicaid. Here's how you get on food stamps. The United States taxpayer is subsidizing large companies who pay minimum wage. And the fact that people need more than that is coming out of taxpayers. Walmart can afford to pay $15 an hour. It's as simple as that. The Waltons can pay $15 an hour. I don't want tax dollars to go to food stamps for Walmart workers because they're not getting paid by the Waltons. I mean, you know, if they need food stamps, they should get it. But we are, this is a scam. The whole damn thing is a scam. Now, the other fact is that you say that these are entry-level jobs. Well, no, not really. You go a lot of places, especially in rural areas, and there are senior citizens working in food stands. I mean, there really are, and in Walmart. And many of them are working like 12 hours here and 12 hours there, and they still don't have 40 hours. That's what's really going on. And then you have the gig economy. So I think that many, many companies are going to 15. Many companies are going to 15. And I think it's the right thing to do. But excellent point. It raises some very, very deep economic questions, very deep economic questions. Now, we were talking before about how there are slight fissures, slight cracks, even in the Democratic coalition. I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you one between progressives and not just the squad, but people like Sherrod Brown of Ohio and Bernie as well. Biden is set to nominate a guy named Michael Barr to be the comptroller, the Office of Comptroller of the Currency. Now, Michael Barr is a very, very experienced individual who held these positions in the Obama administration with the Clintons. He's a Democrat. He will hold the bank's feet to the fire. The progressives in the party want Biden instead of Michael Barr, even though he's very experienced, and on the Democratic side, to appoint a woman named Marasa Bharadaran, M-E-H-R-S-A-B-A-R-A-D-A-R-O-N. And among many things, the truth is that both Michael Barr and Marasa Baradadan would hold the bank's feet to the fire. But she believes in things like bank services should be provided through the post office. Now, you know, that's something, if you want to think of it analytically, what I want is much more control over banks, much higher reserve standards. I want Dodd-Frank. I want very strict regulatory controls. But the notion of a society where cheerful villagers and kerchiefs line up with a basket full of apples at the post office and ask, you know, how much will you lend me for my apples and all that? Let's get on into the 21st century. What we want are honest banks. We don't want multinationals running our economy. But it is way too late in the game to go back to some kind of agrarian notion of what economics is like. That's my take of it. However, I will say, Sherrod Brown, whom I have a lot of respect for, does not want Michael Barr because he wants this this Marasa Baradadan, and I'm sure she's a fine person. But that's an example of the split in our party. Thank God that's all it is, because right now Joe Biden has come out, my God almighty, Joe Biden has come out with the most progressive proposals and agenda of anybody in the history of the United States. And I'm of the view, and remember, I was a Biden guy going back to April 19. Only Joe Biden in that field could have beaten Donald Trump, as crooked as Trump was. And only Joe Biden could put this stuff through. It's sort of like Nixon in China. Nixon, in the early 70s, made overtures to China, the commie Chinese. If a Democrat had done it, they'd be thrown out as being pro-commie. But Nixon had the appearance of being anti-commie. He was able to do it. Biden, everybody goes, he's a moderate. God almighty, a moderate? Take a look at what he's proposing. $1.9 stimulus on top of another $900 billion, weeding right through government, tossing out every crook and troll and plant and mole and time bomb that Trump stuck in the various agencies. You know, he's doing it. He's sticking it to him. He told the commie Ruskies, no, there's not going to be a reset. You're going to pay a price and consequences for leading Trump around by the nose, and Biden didn't say it, but the pervert video, and for the 400 million bones that you lent this guy, and now you're going to try to collect it, have him steal info for you. We're going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789.